Well, let's go around the table. This, of course, is the Mile High Show. That's why you're listening to it. That's why you're tuned in. This is episode, get it, 151.
151, like the rum.
And you know, it's pretty cool because these are probably, sitting around this table, the most frequent guests of the show.
It's only because we don't know how to say no.
Well, that's because we know, like, well, Sky has to promote a CD. You have no life,
and I have to, Lester's so kind.
Well, it's because I am. I'm kind.
We're going to go around the horn and introduce. We'll go clockwise. To my left is a good friend of mine and friend of the show, and all round nerd and collector of dolls, Mr. Matt Hinshaw.
Matt, I love that's all you use to describe me.
That's all I used on the podcast to describe
it's,
you.
It's pretty
how
accurate.
How I describe you at home is completely different.
Lots of screaming, yelling, swearing.
Stop calling me at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I've already been told I'm not allowed to be around Anthony. I swear too much. So
what's that matter, or Matt's wife?
Both. Matt, tell us what you've been up to. What's
working.
Going on, how people can reach you.
I take pictures of houses now. So if you need to buy or sell a house, give us a call. The Burger Mini Group. Other than that.
There's a number for this place?
You know, I don't know. BurgerMiniGroup.com.
Facebook.
Welcome to Prescott. Stuff like that. Yeah. And then, you know, my own stuff. Hinshaw Photography, but I don't. I'm out of season, so I'm taking it easy.
You're about to roll in, though.
I know.
Well, what is officially earlier today, but in podcast land last week, Torrance Dunham. And you came up in that conversation because he also collects dolls. But we also talked about his coverage of the
Mine
Suns.
Mine are voodoo dolls, specifically shaped like Matt Santos. I light them on fire, poke them with needles, whatever.
What number are you on? Where did I turn that off? No, but we came up.
I'm always number one, right?
You're number two, actually.
Number two coming out of the womb. Number two in life. Number two everywhere.
You're like, we'll just call you Deuce.
Just call me Deuce.
What came up in that conversation with Torrance last week, hint, hint, was his coverage of the Suns. We talked a little bit about their arrival here. You are deeply involved with the Northern Arizona Suns. In what way?
Only when they're in season. No. Team photographer again. I renewed my contract. Season starts November 4th. Preseason stuff is starting up. They're having a
last week.
No, they're having tryouts, I believe, down in the valley. Actually, I think Scottsdale or Mesa or something. I don't know. I don't remember. It's somewhere down in Phoenix, which is cool because last year they only did the tryouts up here. So, but that's coming up, and then they're doing the full Phoenix Suns, not the G League Northern Arizona Suns. The full Phoenix Suns will be doing a. Their summer camp here, their training camp here. I guess summer's a poor word because it's September. And then they're going to end their training camp with a full team scrimmage at Prescott Valley Event Center. And it's free to everyone who wants to go. So that'll be fun.
What date is that?
29th?
It's in a link.
Yeah, Friday, September 29th. I just want to like go hurt Matt's brain some more because I couldn't get a phone number and I can't get a date, you know. You know,
I don't remember things like that.
No, you're get ready to take a break. And to Matt's left
okay.
is Matt's left. To Matt's left is Leslie Earle, not a serial killer, Lyman.
Oh, we're back to that.
Les, what do you got going?
Okay.
Now we can all leave for a while.
Yeah, I need another beer.
I'm gonna go home and shave.
Oh God,
I'm
there's,
still with
there's
you.
A visual. There's a visual. Matt Santos says he's gonna go home and shave, ladies and gentlemen.
The bad problem.
This is not pretty. Anyway,
it's bad when he says he's gonna go home and shave because he's already bald. So
well,
just let the imagination.
Okay. Well, I am Leslie Earle Lyman, singer, songwriter, and soldier for the scene. It's what I do. It's what I do. It's what I am. You know that, and consumer of prime rib. That's what I do. You know. Anyway,
all right, Les, talk to us about that prime rib, because that's what I had tonight.
Eric's prime rib is like, you know, it's probably it may not be the best prime rib, that like in the world, but I haven't found any better, and certainly not for a reasonable price, and certainly not like 20 minutes from my house.
He smokes it. He smokes the prime rib. Yeah, that's what makes it special.
All day, man. He like comes out here at five, he starts smoking stuff at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, but it's wonderful. It's done well. Comes with two sides. You can get it in a 14 or a 20 ounce. And, you know, I recommend all the prime rib you can possibly get. So.
My old roommate, Robert Herman, used to start smoking at 5 a.m. too, but it was he wasn't
different.
Smoking ribs.
That's different. There was Cheerios and cartoons after that. Yeah. So anyway, so
Cheerios, come on. Any good stoner knows it's Captain Crunch.
Okay, yeah.
Come on.
Now I have outed Henshaw.
I've outed Henshaw.
Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Henshaw has outed himself.
Fruit Loops and beer.
Okay, well, there you go. Anyway, I will be sitting in with Darren Mahoney for next week here, who is playing at Big Daddy's. He's the next guy up on the 15th. I'll be sitting in with him on the 15th, and my own show here, my own solo show will be, and it's probably going to be the close of the summer, I think, on the, gosh, man, I don't even, like, wait. Wait, where's my phone?
While he's digging out his calendar, I want to stress again the support Eric Veneer over Big Daddy's has done for not only our show, but one, Chino Valley in general, because he's providing the best eats in and around this area.
Oh, yeah.
But he's also supporting the music scene here by keeping this Friday night patio music series going that he started last year. Sky, who we'll get to in just a minute, has helped him book it, and Les, you've been really involved in promoting it and making sure the stage is done upright and that the guys are showing up on time and things like that. Eric has gone out of his way to make sure that that when folks are here to eat, they're enjoying themselves out here on the patio.
Yeah.
They're not. It's not just a place to come grab your food. Most of the takeout orders I'm seeing tonight was a little odd because there's a lot of other activities in the area. But usually it's standing room only, a line out the door. And when people see that, they typically will go, hey, I'm going to get it to go because it's just so packed in here. But then they'll float out to the patio and hang out and listen to some music. So thanks, Eric. Thanks for sponsoring the last couple of shows.
Absolutely.
And thanks for that slab and a half of prime rib I put away a while ago. And, of course, that pecan pie.
Oh, you need to thank me for that. You made me go get it for me.
I was embarrassed.
Did you do the prime rib for the nose, too?
So I will be here. He tried. I will be here for the last Friday night music on the 22nd, and then things will reset because Eric generally tends to go goes to Roatan and go dive and fish, you know, to decompress, you know. And there's some other stuff going on that is, coming up, but it doesn't really actually have a solid date yet. You know, so
well, we'll look forward to the
updates. I'll just let everybody wonder about that, so they can just go, "Oh, Les is over here." We'll just avoid him.
No, we'll look forward to the updates. Now, you mentioned Darren Mahoney.
Yes,
you introduced me to him for the first time several weeks ago.
Yes.
We sat down, did that podcast. So then go back in the archives at milehighshow.com a number of weeks and listen to that because it was a very nice conversation. It felt like when we started talking, 5 minutes after I met him, it felt like we had known. It was a guy I'd known for years that I just met. It was my newest, oldest friend kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I hadn't really talked to him. We bumped into each other a little bit. And, of course, soon after that, he went on his Colorado excursion.
Yeah.
And he was sitting here earlier listening
with Trialogue.
Listening to Sky play, and I got a chance to sit and talk with him a little bit. A lot of fun talking with that guy. We are going to have him back on the show soon to actually get into the music that we did not discuss the first time because we got so into the other aspects of his life. But he was here.
And his lovely wife.
Yes.
Amy.
Right.
Amy.
But he was here along with myself and Les and Matt Henshaw to hear the man of the hour, Mr. Sky Conwell, who is here and dying to get his info out. But I'm sorry, that's all the time we got.
Oh, burn. How are you, Matt?
Hi. Matt, how are you?
I'm always wonderful. Yeah, I got the end slice. Thanks to Les, I got the 20-ounce prime rib, smoked prime rib to go, the end slice. So I'm like in a really, really good mood right now.
Ah, good deal. Now, obviously, we like to sit down with you as much as we can, and we do it quite often. We haven't lately, though. It's been a while. We've been pretty busy.
You don't send me flowers.
But
dude, he stole my joke.
but everybody will know it because it was being recorded when we didn't even know.
But we, like I said, we haven't sat down recently and always looking for an excuse to.
Right.
Specifically tonight, we're sitting down because, one, you're a great guy to listen to talk with, but you have a special project.
You're so kind to me. Thank you for not calling me, a doll collector or mass murderer, first of all.
Well, you're normal.
Thank you.
Now you know the quality of friends.
He has cats.
Now you know the quality of...
He has cats, ladies and gentlemen.
Friends I have when I say Sky Conwell is normal.
Friends is a stretch there, buddy.
That's good. Uh-oh. We're being carded. We're being carded by the owner here.
Eric, what's going on? We were just talking good about you, so that will stop now.
I will?
Okay. Saying how great it is to be out here in the patio. He's got them Roatan teeth, man. That's a Navy boy there.
There's a man who's enjoying a beer right there at the end of the table.
His dentist may have something to think about.
Is it a beer or is it...
So go ahead, Scott.
Okay,
sure.
No.
Interrupted you like I interrupt everybody.
I'm used to it. It's all right. No. Thank you.
Yeah, that's impossible.
Matt, I'm really excited about my new CD. I made a new CD at Raven Sound Studio with Dylan Ludwig.
Dylan Ludwig.
Yeah,
Chino Valley boy.
He's great. He's a great entertainer. He's a great songwriter. He's a great singer. He's a great person. He's a great. Turns out he's a great. A recorder, a sound engineer. So we recorded the CD in his little studio, and I just went in there and played for a couple hours, and he took the songs. We used all of them except for two of the songs that I did.
Nice.
Because we just took the first or second take of each one, because it has a really earthy sound, just me on my guitar. And we recorded it, and now it's for sale.
Nice,
and
so, nice.
Yeah, we have a...
What's the title?
It's just called Sky Daddy Acoustic. That's all it's called. Cool. It's just because it's just me playing on an acoustic guitar. And we're doing a CD release party at Sidekicks on September the 17th.
Which
I'm really excited about it.
In just a couple of days of you hearing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, it's Sunday. It's at Sidekicks at 3 o'clock. For a couple hours, I'm going to play every single song that's on my new CD. There's 15 songs I'm going to sing and play, and I'm going to talk about each one, tell you the story behind each one, and I'm going to play a few songs that didn't quite make the cut on the CD and tell you the story behind that. It'll be like VH1 Unplugged, the storytellers.
So are these all new cuts for you?
No. One of them I just wrote about a month ago. I'm really excited about that one. Track one is my favorite song because it's my newest song. But there's a song on there I wrote when I was in high school. So, yeah, it goes way back.
Nice.
We got songs of all different kinds. These are all the songs, Matt, that wouldn't necessarily normally fit on my rockabilly record or my country record. They're kind of like, it's kind of like my miscellaneous Americana, folk, blues, gospel, novelty, kids record.
Nice. So a good mix of different genres.
Lots of different
speeds,
genres.
Different tempos and things.
Exactly. You know what? My wife, my beautiful, lovely wife, Rhonda, made a comment after we were done recording. She said, lots of different emotions. Lots of things happening in that last couple hours, lots of emotions, from one extreme to the other extreme.
Very nice. Yeah. Now, what tell me a little bit about the recording process over there.
Well, everybody's does things differently. I wanted an earthy feel. I wanted a real down to earth feel. So I want the real thing. So a lot of people go in and just kind of do little tracks. But I didn't want that. I told it's really hard to concentrate while people are talking over here. I told Dylan I just want to come in and just play my music. I just want to just put the microphone on me, and if I mess up, we'll just start over. So it's not perfect. It's raw.
Nice.
But it's what you hear is what you get. Basically, if you come see me live at a venue, this is exactly what you're going to hear.
Cool.
We didn't track anything on top of things. I just went in and did my songs. Basically, it was just like this. I did a song, and he'd say, okay, and what's next? And I'd say, okay, well, this is what's next. What's the name of this one? I tell him, and then we say, okay, hit it. And that was it.
Nice.
And then I left him alone for a couple hours while he did this magic.
Why'd you pick Sidekicks as your release?
Oh, thank you. That was my first choice, and it's kind of home. I'm there every single Tuesday doing music. They're Taco Tuesday. I'm there every Tuesday from 5 to 5 to 8. So
Sidekicks right on the highway in Prescott Valley on 69.
Yep.
On what is it? Second.
Second Street, yeah, yeah, somewhere around there, yeah, yeah, by the big old stepping
stones.
Second
or first, I don't remember.
Right over there, near the Glassford area, Glassford.
The back of the building's on Second Street, and the front of the building's on First Street. So, it's like home, it's like family over there. So they were my first choice, and they welcomed me, and I'm hoping to get a good turnout. We'll have the chairs. Cool. We'll have. I already am expecting a lot of people. A lot of people told me they'd be there.
Nice.
And you can purchase my CD for only $10.
Is it also available on web?
Not yet.
Not yet?
Not
okay.
Yet. So right now, if you want it, you have to come to either one of my live gigs or just come to the CD release party.
Okay, but where is web home for you?
Skydaddy.net.
Skydaddy.net for you and the Pop Rocks?
That's everything. Everything, all my projects. Nope. I got like about 99 five different
years?
Yeah, 99 years is there. Yeah, on my calendar, it has Skydaddy.net, it has a calendar, and it has all of my
Yeah,
all
but
my
you
stuff.
Also have 99 years.
I have a separate web page, as you know, because you helped me put it together, a separate web page for 99 years, my Johnny Cash tribute, and that's 99yearsband.com.
Cool. So what's your regular schedule like now? I know you had some regular features that we were going to pretty regular that have phased out. You got some new ones in the meantime picked up. You had some other ones go away.
Yeah.
The fluctuation of the press music
that's
scene
what
has been moving.
That's just part of the
now?
Part of the game.
Every Tuesday at
every
at
Tuesday Sidekicks.
Sidekicks.
Every Monday I'm at Barefoot Bob's from 5 to 7, just doing solo stuff.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday I'm at Jersey Lily's hosting the classic rock jam session. I'm excited about
now,
that
Now, when
one.
Did that start up?
That started about 2 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah, they got new owners, and right away, as soon as they got the new owners, they started wanting to have this jam session on Wednesdays, bring in all the musicians, anybody who can play is invited to come up on the stage and jam with the band. You could bring your instrument. You could just use the instruments that we have.
Yeah.
You can be, you know, a beginner,
who
novice, advanced, whatever.
Who are some of the regulars that have been sitting in with you?
You never know who's going to be there. Dan Shaw of Five in the Wheel, he showed up once, or twice, actually.
Yeah. That Les Lyman guy
shows up. Les Lyman comes up there on occasion. Yep, yep. Not anymore, though. You don't bring me flowers.
That's what happens, you know.
Wednesdays is when he's buying duct tape and getting rid of the bodies.
Well, yeah.
There's Nick of Five in the Wheels usually there.
I have to hide those, like, last slides with the blood on them. Dexter reference.
By the, crematorium.
Now, do you know... What kind of history do you know about Jersey Lilies? You and Matt, I think. Matt's been up there a bunch of times for different things.
Mainly for work, yeah.
Yeah. I like going up there. The main reason I like going up there, free popcorn.
Yeah.
They got free popcorn up there. They got the balcony overlooking Whiskey Row, which is very unique to them.
Yeah, it's the only one that has a balcony.
Now, they've always done some live music up there. They've kind of have their house band or two.
Mm-hmm.
Lori McDonald's there quite a bit. Of course, Nick Canuel. And Little Larry are there quite a bit. Are they still doing their
weekends? Yeah, they
kind of,
exactly. The new owners realize, you know, don't fix something that's not broken. So they're continuing what works for them.
Yeah.
And so they kind of trade off. One weekend it'll be Little Larry in the Drive. The other, next weekend it'll be Lori McDonald Combo Deluxe.
Yeah,
and they
nice.
Trade off.
But they've gotten the name up there for not just being a great little bar upstairs, but it's got some history with the old cat houses and things, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think there's some secret things going on there that we're not supposed to know about back in the day. Maybe it was a brothel.
No,
I don't know.
They got plaques up. Talk about
yeah, you're right. It's not a secret at all anymore, is it? Back in the day, it was a secret. You're not supposed to know. But
isn't one of the ones that is supposedly haunted as well?
The whole row is.
There's some of that everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's also
The reason why I've spent so much time at Jersey Lily typically is because that's kind of the old
you're
town.
A drunk?
Well,
oh.
Come on, you know I can't afford bars. But no, it's kind of the what do they call them? The old boys kind of hangout spot.
Yeah.
That's where like the old guard of Prescott, specifically political, has always kind of hung out. That's been their watering hole.
I was gonna say.
So
I've
gone there mainly on election night.
Yeah,
because typically, at least one of the candidates, if not more, will be at Jersey Lily.
Yeah,
and. It's usually packed to the gills, and you can't get through. And I'm a big dude, and people usually get out of my way when I'm walking. And there, they just don't care. They're there to party. So
it's a cool space, a lot like the palace. When you walk in, you can kind
of
feel
a lot
the
of history. Yeah.
They recognize it and promote it with a lot of the old photos and things. But unlike the palace, where you can walk in, and I love the palace. I know you have a big place in your heart for the palace
Absolutely.
As well, Sky.
I wrote a song about it.
Yeah. But the feeling at the Palace is they're almost immersing themselves back in that mm-hmm. turn of the 19th century mm-hmm. in the way they dress, the makeup of the menu and everything. Mm-hmm. Of course, the ambiance, the look of it, and the decorations. Now, Jersey Lily is much of the same, but it's not because they're making it look that way or refurbishing and redecorating it that way. It's just that way. And that's the feel you get when you walk in.
Just by nature, yeah.
Yeah.
But my favorite day, well, one of my favorite days to go into the Jersey Lilies would be a Wednesday night because I'm hosting the classic rock jam session where any musician is welcome to kind of jam with the band.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Now,
you're Leslie Earl Lyman.
Well, see,
I just had to bring him back
in. The whole thing is, man, is that like he said, any musician. So.
Hey,
you're going to hang around, right?
I'll probably be around.
Okay, cool.
Thanks, Eric.
Hey, Eric, thank you for the prime rib. God bless you for that.
Even that may not help.
Oh, you know, it may not help you. I think it's too late for you.
But
speaking of the Palace, I'd like to also mention that I don't know when is going to be aired, but I'm going to do a Monday. Well, I'm going to be doing an Eric Clapton show. On October the 9th.
With Chuck Hall.
That'll
be awesome.
Yeah. Chuck Hall is going to help me out in just acoustic, intimate, kind of a acoustic tribute to Eric Clapton doing all of his acoustic songs.
I have done that. It's a really good time. That place was packed. It was a Tuesday night, wasn't it? It was a Monday night, and that place was packed. And people were, very nice, and they were very nice. It's a good time. What was it? It's like $35 a plate, I think?
$35 includes dinner and the show. The dinner could be a prime rib if you want.
It could be a prime rib, but it wouldn't be prime rib.
If you want fish, you can have fish. If you want chicken, you can have chicken. But prime rib dinner and the show. Reservations are at 5:30 or 6 or 6:30. Music starts at 7:30. We play till 9. I got Chuck Hall helping me. Last year it was Les Lyman.
And I wanted to bring that up.
And it was Nick Canwell before, man. Dude,
that's right.
I mean, this guy gets, like, besides Les, man, he gets really good guys to play with him.
Oh, come on, Les. Come on, Les.
Getting back to that lineup for the October 9, you said?
Yes.
For the Clapton tribute, Chuck Hall, if you go back to milehighshow.com to the archives, search Chuck Hall, because for a while there when you were at another location on your regular open mic night, we were doing it as a singer-songwriter thing, and we put up quite a few Mile High shows hosted by Sky Conwell. One of those was with Chuck Hall.
Yep.
And I still go back and highlight that as one of the...
Really? Cool.
Well, people kind of want to know what the show's about.
Yeah.
That's where I direct them, because listening to you talk to Chuck, who you had admired for so long, and talk about when you first saw him playing way back when in the Valley, and then having him as a local, not just, he tours the region, but he also plays quite a bit here in and around the Prescott and Quad City area. Mm-hmm. What a treat that is for us to have that level and like-minded musicians playing on a nightly basis, pretty much.
He's such a nice guy, too. Not only do I admire him as a musician, but I admire him as a person. It's a human being. He's a great, great guy. And I'm honored to be working with him.
He will be playing, incidentally, him and Jim Blair and, Rich Neville will be doing a trio, later on this month. I think it's the 22nd.
Nice.
I think it's I think it's like after I play here, but I'm not sure. You can look at Far From Folsom's calendar and check and see. But like
FolsomYard.com.
Yeah, that is actually one of I saw those guys. They just they had done a pickup gig and Rich had called called Jim and Chuck, and these guys had never played together before, and it was probably one of the best musical acts I'd seen, period. And those guys just did it. And it was amazing. I was like, I would have paid to see this. I really would. I would have bought a ticket. I would have bought a ticket. I would like to buy a ticket to see you and Chuck play.
Oh, thank you.
It was that good, man.
I'm looking forward to it.
That's going to be
my wife Rhonda's going to sit on a couple songs like she did last year, too. Yeah.
The lovely Rhonda.
She's beautiful.
The lovely Rhonda Conwell. That's right. She is lovely. She just has poor taste in men.
Clearly,
he's nodding his head.
Talking to you. So.
That's Matt, Matt comes to your defense.
No, I was just thinking that's...
No, other Matt.
I'm sure Sky doesn't
here.
Need it.
No, I was thinking that's pretty much a well, sorry, Hinshaw. But that's pretty much a classification for sitting at this table. We have all partnered way above our pay grade.
Yeah, I agree.
I know, I did.
My Pity apparently is a huge aphrodisiac.
My wife still claims our marriage was the result of an ill-planned experiment in the psychological department at her school that she has yet to wake up from.
Another MK Ultra victim.
I don't think that's true.
But, you know, the flip side of that, Matt Hinshaw, is that you have a really nice dog, and so you have actually partnered up. Boba is well above your pay.
You named
grade.
Him Boba?
Boba Fett.
What else would I call my dog? Come
Boba
on.
Mutt.
Not Boba, Boba Mutt.
Boba Mutt.
No, Boba Fett. Boba all day long.
Oh, dude.
Hey, my neighbors, granted, I don't talk to them, but my neighbors are just as crazy as I am.
Who decided that?
Me.
and now they're listening.
Hey, there are two dogs that never shut the hell up because they leave them outside all day long and don't do anything in their backyard and don't feed them and whatever. But they name them Star Wars names as well, so.
They're from the Jedi side,
aren't
they?
To Chewy, the right
no, Chewie and Vader.
Oh, really? Oh,
I heard him yell at him the other day.
That's
I
weird.
Have long ago.
Which reminds me, my dog needs to be let out.
This,
oh, well.
This will date me for sure. But I learned long ago that naming your pets with both first and last names, human names, like my favorite animal of all time that I had was Charles Finkelstein. He has long since passed. Before him, it was Rufus Theatus McGee.
Nice.
And then now we have Elizabeth Brown, Betty. And when you have a dog, my former bird was...
when you have a dog, my former bird...
No.
was eaten by the former bird.
All of our... Nelson, I can't remember Nelson's last name. Like, but no, what you do, if you name your pets with both first and last names, there was a time in this great American history that they too could get quality LPs and cassettes, 10 for a penny. And when
Columbia.
They joined the Columbia House Record Club, and then later... When Charlie joined the... CD club for Columbia House, and then our Magdalene Mayfield, again, rest in peace, Maggie, when she joined the DVD club, it was oddly coincidental that they all of my pets had the same great taste in music and movies that I did.
And imagine their credit probably matches yours, too.
Their
imagine
libraries...
That.
Of multimedia are being honored on the shelves of my family room. And then again, they come to collect. So, then they switched it. Columbia House got wise and said, we need a social security number for your application. And that's when we stopped ordering CDs.
That he'll tell you.
No, because I don't have...
They can still apply for credit cards, I understand.
All right, Betty, get on the ball.
You qualify for $10,000 limit.
Wait, you have a new truck.
That's a 13-year-old truck.
It's new
compared
to
my truck. That's brand new.
New to you, man.
So, what are you driving now, Sky? I noticed you got a nice little set of wheels out there.
Yeah, I got a Toyota Tacoma. Yeah,
no,
it's nice.
Right that's out here.
Oh, that one. Yeah, that's Rhonda's.
That's Rhonda's car.
That's an Eclipse. It's a sexy car, isn't it?
He stole that one.
No, that belongs to my wife.
So how broke is your truck? How broke is your truck? That's fine.
No, I've got the cover on it now.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yes,
dude.
I did. I went out and I got the cover.
All right, right on, man.
Did the fist pump. All
right, man, right on. Like I've been bugging him for 2 years.
You have.
I was like, look, dude, if you can't do that, let's get. If you can't do that, like we could start a Kickstarter for you.
I was stressing out a little bit because every time it might rain, it was just too stressful. I needed
you had
a cover.
No,
well, I used to. It fell off right in the middle of the road.
That tonneau thing leaked.
Matt, I wonder if any of your listeners also have the same problem with the covers, because it's not it happened to me. It happened to you. This is a big problem with the company.
They're made out of vinyl. They're made out of vinyl, yeah. And
depends which one you get. You know, fiberglass too.
But no, he doesn't. He had like a. I think I had the vinyl one.
I just wonder if maybe if this is a flaw over time, the company.
UV deteriorates the plastic.
But I didn't have it that long though.
But like, I can attest to that.
How long?
Less than a year.
Really? So that was a new one.
Yeah, it was a new one.
Stuff made, you said like vinyl and all
yeah,
that
it's
stuff.
Made
is
out
that
of vinyl.
Kind of like same pleather. Thing that make up yeah. rubber?
Huh? No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not rubber. Like it's not in any way, shape, or form rubber.
Much like tires are not really made of rubber.
I'm talking about like these guys here. Because
those are tires.
No.
It's not the same material.
For the listeners, he's got his sandal.
He has a size 18,000.
It's a size 14, thank you. But I get these. I typically go to Walmart every year, several times a year lately, and that's my point. And in the beginning of spring, these are 98 cents a pair.
Yep.
And I typically buy 10, 15 pairs.
Yeah.
And I buy them all black. That way you don't have to worry about matching up. All you got to worry about is left to right. And even then, after a while, the rights fit just fine on the left shoe. But I've noticed in the last couple of years, these have only been lasting me months as opposed to... I used to have a pair of these that lasted until it completely
was
see-through.
I have no idea. What I can tell you is that usually we're... Usually on those tonneau covers, right, where you get your real deterioration it's all around the snaps where you put it down. So that's where you actually have the most tension on the material.
Oh, yeah.
And if you get a little sloppier in a hurry, right, and don't put them all the way down, mm-hmm. they'll pop or they'll rip.
I see a whole conspiracy because just like your tonneau.
Oh, there's
cover,
a surprise.
Your whole tonneau cover only lasted you a year and a half, 2 years.
No, less than a year.
Less than a year. I am only getting maybe 10, 12 weeks out of these, and I think that is a travesty. When I spend 98 cents, I expect it to last months.
Well,
how much was your cover?
It was
more
like
than
a half.
Three words that belong, Matt Henshaw.
You know, three words that belong together are Matt, Santos, and travesty. I'm just.
So now I am forced to, because this was Casual Friday, and while I was working today, I had to carry a brand new pair of these in the van because I was afraid these were going to blow out while I was on an important job in an office in Prescott. But thankfully,
and
this
let me
98
guess,
cents lasted.
Business
let
casual,
me guess,
ladies
the
and gentlemen.
The new ones blew out. Someone came by, picked them up before you could even turn around and get them.
No, wait.
That's exactly what happened.
This is what I got to do here. Let's see. Let me think.
Why are you talking to me? They can still hear you.
No, I need a
we're
good
on the
question
radio.
To ask less.
Oh.
It's got a good question to ask.
Les,
there are no good questions.
I do need to go to the bathroom.
Les, we've been talking about going out and doing one of these Thursday jams.
Yeah, yeah.
And we haven't been able to do both of our schedules.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just like
do
nuts.
Me a favor. Tell me a little bit about that Thursday jam.
Oh, it's a steel horse?
What they go. Yeah.
Okay, so.
He's going to go. I knew there was something coming up. Yeah.
See, ladies and gentlemen, Matt Santos has to have a bathroom break. So
I like
yeah, let's talk about him now.
Let's talk about Matt. I want to talk about that steel horse thing. I want to talk about Matt. They do a blues jam. It is it is populated by Phoenix blues royalty. Daryl Porras, Hooter the bass player.
Hooter?
That's his blues handle, man. Like,
it's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
that's a good name.
He's a
Hooter.
Killer bass. Actually, he's from the East Coast. Great guy. There's different drummers. I've been blessed to play with members of the Hoodoo Casters. I've been in some other people that, you know, it's just a good time. The Steel Horse is oddly enough, it is a biker bar situated in a strip mall. you know, and kind of a strip mall kind of thing. You know, you kind of roll up and you're in one of those little, like, financial kind of strip mall things that they have. It's kind of big. You pull up, man, you walk in the door and you're in a biker bar in, like, San Bernardino.
We just want to clarify for Hinshaw, it's a strip mall. That means a mall that's in a row.
You mean not stripper?
Yes.
Well, it's not really. Okay. It's like, it's more of a strip pod.
I know,
pod,
but we had to, like, we had to clarify that because.
What's a strip pod?
A strip pod is like, it's a square, maybe, you know.
But we wanted to clarify that because. When Hinshaw
I go looking. I mean, I'm desperate.
It can be ugly.
Well, he has his dog friend. Anyway, they do that every Thursday.
How do you think he paid his way through college?
I'm just
dancing
saying.
On tables by the airport.
Anyway. So these guys, like, I go down there. They're very well. Like, I have a good time, man, because I've known Daryl Porras probably for, gosh, pushing 14 or 15 years.
Big Daddy D.
Yeah, I've known him for a long time. And, you know, it's, you know, like, I play acoustic guitar a lot, so the jams, like, the thing that you do, the things that I go to in Cotton with stuff, it gives me a chance to, like, pull the Strat out and, like, you know, and not, and use it so I don't go, man, if I'm not going to play this thing, I'm gonna sell it. And the music is
Les, I invite
good.
You to bring your Strat to the Wednesday Classic Rock Jams anytime at Jersey Lilies.
I will.
7 to
I will.
10.
7 to 10.
On Wednesday.
Like, all,
right?
Like, for all three, like,
I got
just,
you.
So do I get to play it or I just like to bring it?
It's, yeah, no, you
want okay, to bar
you bring it. You sit in the corner and shut up, but you know,
you
Sky will play it.
Hooter?
Yeah,
Hooter. His name? Hooter?
Yeah.
But traditionally, musicians, ball players, there's certain occupations, there's certain lifestyles that lend themselves to colorful names, nicknames. What are some of the oddest nicknames that you that
dude,
you
you're
have?
Really reaching now.
No, I just no, Hooter got me thinking because I've known, oddly enough, I've known three Biscuits.
Yeah.
Over the years.
And so, like,
all related.
How many Smurfettes have you known?
None.
Really?
All the Biscuits were related.
Dude, every
related.
Chicano gang has a Smurfette. They're like, you know, like the girl side of it, you know.
All the Biscuits that I've known have been somehow connected to the unlicensed pharmaceutical trade.
Hmm.
What about musicians for Sky?
My friend Pepper, I used to jam with.
Yeah.
We call him Pepper. His name is Roy, but we could just call him Pepper.
How do you get the name?
I have no idea.
No, long before he came into contact with you?
Yeah. A lot of times those nickname things have absolutely nothing to do with anything that's rational. It's like something sticks. You know, something will stick like, you know, like I have a friend that, like, everybody calls him Mudbone. You know, everybody, like,
Brock, yeah.
Yeah, Brock. Everybody calls Brock. Like, we call him Brock.
Yeah.
But everybody calls him Mudbone, yeah. Pretty much, you know. And, like, and he's cool with that, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people ask me, you know, they don't know that my real name is Sky. So they meet me as Sky Daddy, or they hire me as Sky Daddy. And, like, what do you want me to call you? You want me to actually call you Sky? Sky? And I'm like, that's my real name.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was your name. I thought that was a name connected to your rockabilly.
Well, it's my real name, and I am a dad, so it kind of makes sense.
Now, in the cosplay world, and in the,
I don't
in
even
the,
do.
He looks, he's looking
freaking
for dork. The listeners. He's looking right at Hinshaw right here.
That'd be Matt Hinshaw.
He's all
right.
So,
like, so
into
the
my
most
eyes,
the most disturbing thing to me is that Matt Santos actually knows what that means, and I blame you.
No,
Matt Hinshaw.
I honestly,
sorry,
I'm not joking.
Cosplay.
About
what
a year
is that?
And a half ago, I had to Google it.
I never heard. What does that mean?
The next one he needs to look up is LARPer. That'll be a fun
LARPer,
one.
Yeah.
Nah, I think I draw the line. When I have to Google things to keep up with a conversation, it's either going to result in an invoice or
a
nap.
Are you serious about not knowing
no,
your cosplay?
No, I'm not serious.
I was
going to
say, you must be Googling a lot.
No, you know what I have gotten in the bad habit of doing? IMDb while I'm watching stuff on TV.
Yeah.
Just because they'll reference something.
So you finally caught up to 2007.
Yeah. that's a good boost for me because I was stuck in the 70s when I was 8.
Well, the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, Matt actually has really good taste in old movies and jazz, and so he likes stuff. He likes, you know, I didn't have to explain to him who Tom Waits was. He knew
no,
Tom Waits.
I've been
was.
I, knew, for, I bought know. A Tom Waits sorry. 8-track in 7th grade.
Yeah, so like I'm, you know, and
the piano's been drinking.
Oh yeah.
No, is Frank's Wild Years was
yeah,
the
yeah.
one I got.
Yeah.
And
but anyway, so Matt, like, so the thing is that Matt is discovering, like, the joy of knowing geeky stuff about movies soon. perhaps he will cosplay.
One of the things that Hinshaw is anxiously waiting, he posts the daily updates.
The Last Jedi.
It's not daily.
Don't you have like a
It's more of an hourly thing.
Honestly, I follow websites.
Aren't you impressed that he can count that high?
Wait a minute. 103 days till what?
Till the Last Jedi.
Yeah. The most recent.
Well, okay, it's December, right?
As of stop for a second. What today we're recording this on September 8th.
Right.
Matt Hinshaw, how many days left?
I don't know, 990 something. I don't know. I didn't know.
He doesn't know, ladies and gentlemen.
He's pretending not to know.
Okay. So
I saw it in his eyes.
Eleven.
Since we're talking about movies, guess what movie, and you'll know, guess what movie just broke Deadpool's all-time R-rated opening movie weekend or day.
I give up.
It.
What's Deadpool?
It did it in one day. It did it in one day.
Really?
Yes. And the thing
is, I was going to go see that this weekend.
The thing is that I like Stephen King. I really like the book. I really like a lot of Stephen King's
books. Is that clown one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just a clown one. It's really sort of like the. It's all the monsters from like the 50s when he was a kid. So you had Frankenstein and the Wolfman and maybe Jaws. Like he threw in that Jaws because it's not really, but like anything that you're afraid of, that thing can be, So that's why I call it.
I've already read a few reviews and it seems like hit or miss. Either they really, really love it or they think it's really boring.
I would like to go see it. I want to go see it, but I don't understand how you can do it the book is 1,000 pages, man. How do you take a 1,000 page book, right? It's like how do you take Elizabeth Reed and turn it into a 3-minute song?
Oh
right?
you can't. Which three minutes are you going to use?
That's what I'm saying. I want to see how they pulled that off.
Let's take a look at Game of Thrones as well. Those books are freaking huge.
Yeah.
Well, they turn it into a TV series.
Well, they butchered it, man.
let's go to genres again. Movies. We got two of the area's premier musicians, hardest working musicians in the area.
No, that's not me. That's
what's
Guy.
What's a good musician or music, not a musical, but a movie about either a musician or the industry that you think really reflects what it's like to be a gigging player.
I don't know if this is the answer to your question, but I watched the Cadillac Records movie with Rhonda the other day. That's a story of Chess Records.
Yes.
Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, Chuck Berry, and it's Etta James.
Okay, I've never seen that. I believe
Rolling Stones didn't record for Chess.
No, they recorded there.
They made one album.
This is how they launched it, didn't they? Weren't they recording with? Like in the guy had the Cadillac dealership, didn't he? Something.
No. It was Chess Records, but he gave a Cadillac to his guys. Leonard Chess was the guy, and he recorded Muddy Waters and all those blues guys, and he would give them Cadillacs. The movie's called Cadillac Records, but there was Chess Records.
There was a movie similar thing, and I remember they said, I want to say John Turturro was in it, I think. But I'm not sure. But they were actually recording at night in a. It was a fact based movie, but they were recording in a Cadillac dealership.
Oh no! I think that's a different movie.
Yeah. No. Okay. I got mixed up. But that was a good one too. But
sure.
So when did you see this?
Well, I saw it when it came out many years ago. But Rhonda and I just recently watched it. It was on like a Netflix or something.
Okay. Cool.
So we watched
it. Nice. Cadillac Records.
Cadillac Records. Yeah.
Who was in it? Do you remember at all? Or
well, I know Beyonce plays Etta James, and I think all the other people
definitely not one I've seen. But yeah, that sounds interesting.
Yeah. All the other people were just kind of. I think they were no names.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's a really good movie. I really, really recommend it. I think it's accurate. My favorite scene: Chuck Berry comes in. And they've got him in the studio, and he's doing his, Maybelline. Yeah. He's doing all this. He's doing his signature thing. Willie Dixon says, "That ain't the blues." And Leonard Chess says, "I don't know what that is." And then they looked at each other and said, "Let's record it." And I have a feeling maybe that's exactly how it went.
Yeah. Neat. Les, what do you got music-wise?
Well.
And then, Matt, you think about photos.
Think about photos, Matt.
That hurts.
Well, I could say think about
right now I'm thinking
Boba and model airplanes.
Boba Mutt. Anyway,
hold on, Les is talking. I'll be back.
I think
you got time.
Yeah, okay.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Look, he left his wallet. Cool. I checked his paycheck. That's okay. I just want your wallet, man. It's got, you know, it has important, like, you know, things that I can use to make a voodoo doll. Anyhow, I think that I have, gosh, man, I like documentaries about the music business. And
like which ones? What are some neat ones that you've seen recently?
Oh, golly, man.
Any that come to mind?
I think the one that, like, I've seen lately that I really liked was The Humbler. It's about Danny Gatton, who is probably...
Not familiar with the
name. Danny Gatton is probably the best, like, him, like, probably the best guitar player most people haven't really heard of. That is, you know...
I mean, I've heard of him.
Well, yeah, but, like, he never really made it big. He's one of those kind of guys where... him and Roy Buchanan, actually, who people have heard of, I find more than Danny, because Danny tended to be more of a country guy, and but not quite. I mean, he would, if he was alive today, he would probably be like doing something like the Reverend Horton Heat is doing.
Yeah, he did a lot of rock and jazz and blues and country.
Yeah, like, well, anything, you know, guys. I remember seeing, like, he played in D.C. when I was very young. Guy's amazing, and it really is sort of semi-tragic. He's like, you know, he was really good at, like, most people who are really good at, like, music. It really, you know, the business end of it didn't bring him any real joy. You know, he liked to play, but, you know, music is spiritual, like, and music business, not so much. So I like that one. There is one coming out that I'm really excited to look at. It's called The Shopkeeper, and it's about a guy called Bruce Harris, who is a studio guy, and he wrote songs with Carole Kaye. Just a whole bunch of people, and he ended up making a little recording studio in Austin, Texas. What it's about is how they're really, you know, like the blue collar side of, you know, like, I mean, blue collar musicians and blue collar recording guys. And so this guy does really good work, and it's a studio. You know, and you can go in there, and if you need a drum track, he can play drums. He can do this. He had like an immaculate guitar collection you could use. All the stuff did great work, and he's slowly, gently going out of business. He's desperately trying to pay the mortgage on the place. And James McMurtry said it best, like he does a lot of things. It used to be you toured in support of an album. Now you make an album so you have something to sell to make extra money, like, as you tour. And the equivalent of, like, you know, streaming pays nothing. You know, like, you get more, and Apple, you know, like, iTunes pays only a little, and pays better, but it's a little, you know, it's a little, you know, it's a little, like,
and
more
that's
than
when
nothing.
You're streaming and downloading legally.
Yeah, this is legal. And then there's a thing in the trailer where Ani DeFranco goes, like, I've had a fan tell me this to my face. It's like, you know, I love your music. I've got all your albums. I didn't pay for any of them.
Line of documentaries, I remember when, and it kind of ties into obviously primarily music, but there was also several scenes in there with the band photographer, and that was U2's Joshua Tree tour.
Yeah, I remember
which
that.
We went and saw. Three nights running at the Oakland Coliseum, and I blame my good friend from back then, Mr. Bobby Garcia, for this. Is that
thanks, Bobby?
I vaguely remember showing up at the Coliseum. Don't remember much of the concert, but they were filming for the documentary that came out a year and a half later, Rattle and Hum. And we saw them filming some of that at Justin Herman Plaza and at the Coliseum, and. We had evidently had a real good time at the concerts for Joshua Tree. And this is the 30th anniversary. They're doing the tour of Joshua Tree again. Oh, and I saw a post
album.
On it the
great
other day.
Album.
I saw a post on it the other day, and I shared it. I said, I really should go see this tour since I remember virtually nothing about seeing it 30 years ago.
I still haven't found what
but
I'm looking for.
Now, this is the thing. When we went to the concert, a year and a half later, we went to the theater to see the movie Rattle and Hum, myself and Bobby Garcia, and we tried to reenact what we had been doing that weekend that they came through the Coliseum, and we were at the Festival Cinemas in Hayward, California for a matinee show, and it was like eight people in the theater, and it was probably 20 minutes into the movie that we realized we weren't at a live concert.
What?
It was a lot of fun.
So did they let you come back ever?
No, we didn't.
No, okay.
No, we did because our friend Luong Dang, who went to high school.
Wait, say that again.
Luong.
Luong Dang?
Dang was his last name. He was the manager of the theater.
So every time someone goes Dang, that guy... Like,
he gets a dollar.
Okay.
Royalties. No, there was a couple of scenes in there where they were photographing for the album cover and the liner notes, and the photographer that they were with had some really interesting techniques. So if you haven't seen Rattle and Hum, watch it and watch how this photographer works, because we ripped off those ideas for a lot of band shots, and it was a lot of fun. Motion and movement, slow shutter and stuff. So it kind of ties in with the musical aspect as well as photography. I want to hear from Matt Hinshaw your favorite movie about a photographer or the
added
photography
effect
business.
Of making Matt Hinshaw wait to talk.
The one that always sticks to my mind is it's a documentary based on James Nashway. I don't know if you know who James Nashway is. James Nashway is a war photographer, and it was one of the first ones I was exposed to when I was in college, and I was like, I want to be that guy.
Nice.
And I still want to be that guy to this day, but it'll never happen.
But alive.
He's still alive to this day. He's one of the few war photographers. That's the name of it. It's just a documentary called War Photographer.
Oh, nice.
And he's
I'll
one of the few war photographers that has been doing it his entire career that he had never been injured until our most recent conflict.
Oh, wow.
Period. He has done all kinds of conflicts. But it took him to, I think it was either Iraq or Afghanistan, to where he finally got injured, and it was an IED, and he was in a truck with a bunch of other journalists when it went up.
Oh, wow.
He's still alive. He's still shooting. He's still, out covering conflicts. But this was before that, and it just shows him in his element what he's doing, and then it ends with him having basically a gallery show at the Modern Art Museum in New York.
Yeah.
Of his life's work, because they even interview who clearly either was going to be his wife or going to be his girlfriend or something, and she was German and ran this other publication, and how he basically gave up everything to be a war photographer.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out.
So, I got it. I bought it.
On the non...
I've always wanted to be a war photographer, as sick as that sounds.
On the
I'll never be able to. Band, these guys will probably laugh at me, but I really like the Walk the Line, the one about Johnny Cash. I really liked how, I forget the actor's name now.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix, I think he just killed it in that movie. I really enjoyed his portrayal of Johnny Cash.
I'm not going to laugh at you. It's a great movie.
The best part about that movie is I kept telling people that Johnny Cash, when he started, right, he was a rock act.
He was in company of Elvis and Carl Perkins and Jerry Lee Lewis.
On the photo side, non-documentary, one that sticks out in my head was The Killing Fields. It was a great movie about, obviously, war conflict photography, as well as just guys scrambling around. I remember that image of the scene of them trying to make that passport photo out of ammonia and stuff they found laying around in the kitchen and the bathrooms and stuff. It was a great flick.
Dude, I can only watch it one time. That was one of those things where, you should watch it. But I was so upset afterwards, man. I was very – it takes a lot to get me to bum out. I was just totally unhappy.
About five of us from the paper all went the day it came out to a matinee and all went in and saw it.
Maybe unhappy is a mild word. I think I was really angry. I don't know. I was very upset.
Interesting one that I've seen sparingly, but it's not as awesome as something like The Killing Fields. It was called Pecker. It was portrayed by the photographer. He was a young poor kid that just had a camera. And if I'm not mistaken, it's been a while since I've seen it, but it was the kid from Terminator 2, Edward Furlong, played Pecker. And his name was Pecker because that was his last name. And so all the kids always picked on him and everything. And he was a poor kid growing up in a poor neighborhood. And all of a sudden, some big art dealer, I believe, stumbles upon his greatness. And overnight, he becomes this big multimillionaire fancy artist. And it was just kind of surreal. As you know, as I go back, I don't know if I've explained this to you, but I have a picture over my bed that I look at every morning when I get up. Have you ever noticed?
I've never been in your bedroom.
Not
Matt,
you,
I'm
but Santos has been in my house.
Santos has been in your bedroom.
He's been in my house. Yeah,
he helped me move.
Ladies and gentlemen, another visual that you didn't want. Okay.
No. I've actually done a podcast
multiple times
from Matt's house while he was out of town.
I was moving.
I did a tour of his house and talked about his doll room. Me and Boba.
I like
Boba
how it just keeps going back to that.
He really does have dolls?
Yes.
You weren't just kidding?
My story.
It had to do with me looking at pictures in your bedroom. I think you've heard enough.
Podcast 152. Podcast 152. We'll hear the rest of your story.
It's actually kind of important, but it's the flag raising.
Leave me alone. This is important.
I had the flag raising of Iwo Jima over my bed.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I've always had that over my bed, and that's because... You know, I don't know if you know much about that photographer.
He wasn't the best.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't the best photographer. He wasn't world class, nothing. But that fool got lucky enough to win a Pulitzer for that photograph. So it reminds me that no matter how hard I work, there's still a bit of luck that's in our profession.
That's cool. I'm glad you finished that story. Thank you.
A fraud has succeeded in this industry, and he now works for the Courier.
Let's interrupt Matt.
I would like for you to tell Les the reason we had this podcast. What was the real purpose of this podcast? Because he doesn't believe me.
I thought it was Matt told me it was to get him pecan pie.
we're gonna see. This is the purpose
about prime rib.
You dial out mics 1 and 2. And I want to thank Eric Veneer for letting us take up space in his patio at Big Daddy E's, where we sat and listened to Sky Conwell play some music. And the reason we are here today is because, Sky, you're still alive. Why are we here?
I'm still here.
Why are we here?
We're here because I'm doing a CD release party at Psychics on Sunday, September the 17th, from 3 to 5. And I'd like everybody to come out and hear my new songs on my new CD. They're all acoustic, just me on my guitar, and just come out and support me and buy my CD.
Nice, nice. And skydaddy.net?
Correct.
Did I get that right?
You got that exactly.
And while you are listening to this... I am up in Flagstaff, Arizona for the Big Pine Comedy Festival, recording multiple podcasts that will roll out over the course of the next few weeks. Again, this is 152. It is brought to you by Big Daddy E's Barbecue at BDEBBQ.com, on Twitter and Instagram at BDEBBQ, and of course, Amazon. So jump on that Amazon link at MileHighShow.com. Buy some stuff. It will help you avoid me knocking on your door and borrowing money. Thanks for tuning in.